longing only to know you.
We all win then. She has never won a birthday party.
I was called to become a deacon, and I really had been thinking about learning more about what was in the church, and so I asked if I could be an elder instead, and I wasn't sure how that would go over because I'd not been on any committees or any boards in the past, although I've been a longtime member. But they were very enthusiastic, and I feel that I was really welcomed with open arms when I came in as a real newbie. I expected to learn more about the church and what the issues were regarding our church. And I think that what I came out of it knowing is that I felt much more connected to the church and to the people that I met.
We're working on it, and
more connected to my own faith and learning about the faith of others and how we can work together to accomplish it. And enter code 8800. I think what surprised me is that I learned more about being a Presbyterian than just about being a church member. And we made decisions that affected not just our church, but affected a larger group of people. This is a car with bold looks and the performance to back it up. You might say it's a car that's one of the things that stands out in my mind with being an elder was being able to vote on the change to the Book of Order that was allowing the definition of marriage to change to be between a committed, a unique commitment for a couple. Traditionally a man and a woman. And that vote there was something that I felt very strongly that I wanted to vote for. And that vote from just our church and other churches within the Presbytery led to the national Presbyterian Church of USA to vote to allow same-sex marriages in the church. I really enjoyed the 3 years that I had here, and it seemed like it really went by quickly. I've made so many more friends in the church that I can say hello to when I come to on Sunday morning, and I feel less of an outsider, even though I've been a member, and for reasons I've stood on the sort of the fringes, I feel really the people brought me in, and they were so nice, and I had a wonderful experience, and now I've worked on committees with other people, and it just extends throughout this church. I think that's a very unique experience to have coming in, like I said, being a newbie, and I wasn't sure how this was all going to go because I had really no idea what was going to be expected. But everybody was so nice and helped me learn.
Then allegedly set fire to the door at the historic cobblestone house on Church Street in the village.
I would say jump in and do it. You'll be afraid. You won't know that. You will feel very good, but you will learn in the process, and people are there to help you, and you will know so much more about this church, and I wanted to know how it worked, the behind-the-scenes stuff, and I've learned a lot, and it makes me want to help people. And again, I feel that I can really contribute because of my faith and the people here follow the same general feelings that I have. It just has made me much stronger in my faith.
Six world powers this summer. The International Atomic Energy Agency says that Iran will provisionally apply the agreement.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways you can find out how we are church together in the world is your bulletin has lots of announcement and a calendar in there. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship to receive any questions or comments that you might have. And don't forget to sign the hospitality registers. Some point during the service, those will find their way down the pew and sign it and send it back. That way we also have a chance to greet one another by name. So we have a lot going on, especially today. So for anyone who is looking to learn more about the church as a confirmand, so these are our youth. Don't forget, we have all of the sponsors, parents, and confirmation youth meeting here at the church this evening. And also for those who are attending the Jamaica orientation, we do have that following Sunday school this morning. And a few other announcements about what's going on today. Heather?
Hi, Heather Pym here. On behalf of the youth committee, I wanted to just give a reminder that tonight is the Haunted Hayride. We are meeting here at 6 o'clock tonight, and it's from 6 to 8:30. Bring $15. We're going to go on a haunted hayride at Verholst Farm. So if you want any extra snacks, bring extra cash, but hope to see you there.
Thank you. Rona.
Good morning. You should be very proud of how we handled St. Joseph's. It was awesome. We fed so many, and we had plenty of cupcakes, cookies. It was just awful. And the thing is, we have to remember, Al Waugh started this program years ago, and we need to give him a lot of credit for keeping it going. It's not easy. But we had a lot of help, and it was an awesome day. So thank God for all of you.
Good morning. Next Saturday is the fall cleanup. It starts at 8:30. That is Saturday, October 24th. There will be donuts and coffee and other fun things, and you can pick up leaves or sticks or climb on the roof, whatever you want to do, for as long as you want to stay. We would love to have you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All you have to say is donuts. And now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. Servants of God, lift up your heads. Servants of God, lift up your hands. Servants of God, lift up your hearts.
Good morning. Would you join with me in reading the prayer of confession that you will find in your bulletin? Lord Jesus Christ, keep reminding us that following your means, emptying ourselves of all self-serving power and filling ourselves with the desire to serve others as willing as you did, forgive and reluctance on our part to follow your example, replace any selfish power, place ours, with your inclusive love, our compassion, and your humility. Let us now just take a moment for silent confessions to God. God offers us forgiveness and a new beginning time and time again. Rather than dwell on mistakes we have made, God invites us to start afresh, moment after moment. Know that you are forgiven by God and invited to embark on new adventures. Thanks be to God.
Amen. At this time, if the children would come forward. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, friends. Hi, William. How are you? Good. So, a few weeks ago, it was my birthday. I know, awesome. It was awesome. I love birthdays. Do you guys love birthdays? What is your favorite part about a birthday? Cake. Yeah, me too. What else? Anything else? Nothing? Just cake? Hear that, parents? All you got to do is cake. That's it. That's presents. There we go. I love presents too. So on my birthday, I got a gift that was in this box. I'll tell you what it was. It's a unicorn. It's not what's in this box today. In our Bible story for today, can't open it yet. In our Bible story, as you all are in Sunday school, you will hear about a gift that Jesus gives to his disciples, especially these two brothers who are named James and John. They are quite the characters. They think that they can go to Jesus and ask him for a special gift, one for just them. I would have gotten a little frustrated because Jesus has been talking all along about how he's been giving gift to all people, gifts of love and kindness and care. And so today Jesus teaches his disciples about a different kind of gift. Well, it's the same gift, but a different word. Who wants to open it? Yes, go for it. Open it. It's in here. The gift Jesus gives is in there. Can you see it? It's not tissue paper. Someone take it out. Do you want to take it out? Okay. Alex, what is the gift that Jesus gives? Service. There you go. You can look at it. That seems like a strange gift to give. Service. But in today's story, Jesus teaches his disciples and all of us about how God gives, through Jesus, the gift of service to all of God's people so that we can go and serve others. So what does serving others look like? Does anyone know? How do you give the gift of serving? What does it look like? I think you could serve people. I don't think it has to be at a restaurant. Maybe you could help out with dinner at home. That would be a way of serving your family. Those ways of showing kindness and helpfulness to our parents, to our friends, to other people we don't even know. So this week, your job is to be on the lookout. It's going to be everyone's job here, okay? To be on the lookout. Where have you seen the gift of service? And will you come back and tell me about it next week? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for sharing the gift of service with all people. Amen. Thank you, and I hope you have fun in Sunday school.
Our first reading of the Word this morning comes from Psalm 104, a passage titled, God the Creator and Provider. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers of the water. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the wind your messengers, fire and flame your ministers. You set the earth on its foundations so that it shall never be shaken. You cover it with the deep as with a garment. You cover it with the deep of the waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they flee. At the sound of your thunder they take flight. They rose up the mountains, ran down to the valleys, to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they might not again cover the earth. O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creators. Praise the Lord.
Novelist John Gardner, who was actually born just down the road from us in Batavia, where a group of us were last week sharing our stories about the mission experience in Guatemala. But anyway, this great novelist is quoted, among others, having said that there are only two memorable plots for all the stories ever told. One is that a stranger comes to town. The other is that someone went on a journey. If we think about most of the scripture, the stories in scripture, they really do fit into one of those two ways. This morning, the Gospel of Mark invites us on the final journey that Jesus and his disciples make to Jerusalem before his death. Now, the gospel writer of Mark is notorious for making the disciples sound like a bunch of bumbling idiots, completely clueless to what Jesus is trying to teach them about who he is and what the kingdom of God here on earth is all about. So, yes, the gospel writer does not disappoint. And I'm going to even back us up a few verses this morning to give us a fuller picture of this journey that they are going on. And I'm going to also read from a different interpretation. Usually we use the New Revised Standard Version.
This morning I'm going to use the Common English Bible. Listen for God's words to us this morning. Jesus and his disciples were on the road, going up to Jerusalem with Jesus in the lead. The disciples were amazed, while the others following behind were afraid. Taking the 12 aside again, he told them what was about to happen to him. "Look," he said, "we're going up to Jerusalem. The human one will be handed over to the chief priests and the legal experts. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will ridicule him, spit on him, torture him, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise up." James and John, Zebedee's sons, came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They said, "Allow one of us to sit on your right hand and the other at your left when you enter into glory." And Jesus replied, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or receive the baptism I receive?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive. But to sit at my right or left hand isn't mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it has been prepared." Now when the 10 disciples heard about this, they became angry with James and John. And Jesus called them over and said, "You know that the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve, to give his life, to liberate many people." Indeed, the word of the Lord. At the beginning of this month, for at least the 8th time in his presidency, Barack Obama strode determinedly up to a podium after another deadly mass shooting. And his voice rising in evident frustration after at least 10 people were killed at a community college in Roseburg, Oregon, he lamented, "Somehow this has become routine. The reporting is routine. My response here at this podium ends up being routine. We become numb to this." I wonder if maybe the disciples aren't necessarily clueless, as the gospel writer portrays them to be. I mean, couldn't it be that, like the American people, when it comes to hearing about gun violence in our communities and in our nation, the disciples are numb to this third declaration that Jesus makes to them of the ridicule, violence, and death he will endure? The first time that Jesus tells them about the violence and death, there's this angry outcry by one of the disciples. And then the second time, there's that silent disbelief that settles over them. And this time, when he speaks of being condemned to death by a religious institution more concerned with condemnation than compassion, when he speaks of being ridiculed and tortured by a social system that renders the tyrant strong in the world, when he speaks of being killed as a form of political humiliation, the two men who committed crimes against the empire, one on his right and one on his left, when he speaks about this with the disciples this time, how can the response not be but just complete and utter ridiculousness? That's what this is. Here we are on this final journey to Jerusalem. Jesus is walking out ahead of the crowd, and the brothers Zebedee, elbow to the front. Before all that, Jesus, just hold on a second, could you just do us a little favor? Just a little one. When all this gets turned around, can we have the front row seats? The one on the right, the one on the left, they don't know exactly what's coming yet or how this will play out. What I do know is Jesus has an incredible capacity for maintaining composure with these two. I'm pretty sure I would not be able to do the same. And the other gospel writers aren't really sure how to tell this story where Jesus maintains his composure either. If we go back through the other gospel, Luke just glosses over this whole incident completely. And I kind of love what Matthew does. So he decides to pawn off the situation on Zebedee's mother, right, who jockeys for the privileged positions for her boys on their behalf. Grown men making their mother do the work for them. Well, that's a sermon for another day. And rather than making this a Freudian matter, Mark focuses on Jesus taking the high road, because he's Jesus. And he turns this into a teaching moment. You know, Jesus says to the disciples, the ones who are considered the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them. And then their high-ranking officials just order them around. We know, as modern-day disciples, that the ones in our culture who are considered successful and powerful do whatever it takes to get ahead, looking out for number one and clinging so tightly to the illusion their authority comes from dominating and oppressing others. This is not so for the followers of Jesus. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be slave of all. For the human one did not come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people. Now, the reason I chose the Common English Bible translation for this morning is because it uses the word liberate, or to free, rather than ransom. We have all sorts of hang-ups on that word. And I'm also drawn to it because of a sermon that was preached in 1974. No, I was not there, but the internet is a great thing. By a feminist theologian and one of the first women ordained in the Presbyterian Church. Letty Russell said that service is possible for us all. Because it is not just a command, it is a gift of God. Service is God's gift because it is God who serves us. God comes to the people to liberate them so that they may celebrate their freedom by sharing it with others. In God's service to us, we see what Karl Barth calls the humanity of God. God is first of all not a king sitting on a pyramid of the world, creating pyramids of domination and subjugation in the hierarchies of church and society. Rather, the humanity of God is seen in that God chooses to be related to human beings through service. In Jesus Christ, God came as Emmanuel, God with us, to be with us, all of us, women and men, tax collectors and the poor, the outcasts and the religiously acceptable, the prostitutes and the people who exploit them, the religious leaders who took the best seats at the banquet, and the two criminals who hung on the crosses to his right and to his left. The gift that God chooses to be in relationship to humanity through service is how God liberates us from the numbness of the domination system so that we all might have the opportunity to give that same gift to others. Imagining our lives and the church in the world today in such a way where we all have the opportunity to share in this gift means that we are going to have to stumble around a little bit with our modern understandings of service. Talking about it with the children is such a perfect way to lift up for ourselves how we think. When we think service, we think, oh, you go to a restaurant, right? You buy service. Some of us get caught up in that being a servant means this submissive doormat for anyone to take advantage of. Or, as we learned in the gospel reading this morning, I mean, we may or may not, I'm not going to make any eye contact, take our own self-interest to the extreme, like the brothers Zebedee. But it is important to keep in check our tendencies to serve from our own need to be needed. But remember, if Jesus can practice patience with the Zebedee brothers, I'm sure he can with us too. So this week, I invite you, as I did the children, and for those who came with those children, a great family practice for the week. Take notice, give thanks for the little ways that God's gift of service comes alive with and for you. And if you're having a little trouble trying to even think about what that might look like, in closing, I offer you a poem written by Andrew King. And he takes notice by asking the question, is that you, Lord? Is that you, Lord, changing the diaper in the nursing home, holding the spoon for the woman in her wheelchair, wiping down the toilet and the floor? Is that you, serving the dinner at the homeless shelter, sorting cans at the food bank, mowing the aged neighbor's lawn? Is that you, Lord, bandaging the wounds of bomb victims, erecting the tent for the refugees, handing out the water and the food? Is that you, Lord, driving the patient to the treatment center, sitting through the night with a family, making the call to the forgotten friend? Is that you, Lord, lighting the candle in the darkness, keeping vigil for compassion and justice, loving in us and through us and with us until the world you love has been changed? Thanks be. At this time, we join our hearts in a time of prayer. For anyone who would like to share a prayer of joy or concern out loud, you may do so. Just raise your hand so an usher can see you, and they'll bring a microphone over. Make sure you speak right into it so that we can hear you. I don't know if this has ever happened before. We do have, we'll get you going. Sometimes that helps. Prayers from our children this morning. They have a lot of great joy for being able to ride in the wheel-a-thon. I rode almost 2 miles. Prayers for the reminders that it's almost my birthday. And prayers of joy for wiggly teeth and babysitters. And also prayers of concern for life to keep going smoothly, and prayers of healing for a scratch on my hand. Let us continue our time of prayer. Holy God, we define greatness very oddly, or at least different from you. We admire those afar who excel at sports, who have the most money, and who have the most likes on Facebook. And at the same time, we ignore those who silently and without hope of reward simply reach out to offer support to others. Today, gracious God, we think of those whom you define as great. Those many, many people who offer the gift of a smile, a hug, a word of support to others. We think, too, of those who risk so much by giving the gift of their voice to speak out against violence and injustice, who stand up for women who are abused and battered, children who are forced into the sex trade, and all those who work long and hard for very little pay. Remind us all, gracious God, that the best way to know we are doing well and serving you is to reach out to those around us. And the needs of the least of your people are being met. We are doing your work. We are receiving. We are giving. We are offering in thanks and celebration the gift of your Son, who offered himself as a living example of how to lead by serving, and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us celebrate with God the abundance in which we have indeed been blessed, and offer back a portion of that as we give thanks with our morning offering.
Let us pray. We have the means to give. We have the reasons to give. And there are many ways that people are waiting for us to give. And so we thank God for the commons, the common grace, for joys and pleasures and happiness, for rare moments when we have enough but not too much, and all of your safety and those within our community, and material and immaterial needs go met. This is the miracle of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And we go. We go with the gift of God's service to each of us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came to be with and for each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit, who gets us up each and every morning to do it again. Alleluia. Amen.